Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here we go. Round our way, the birds are singing, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brighton snatched a point at Palace and the Premier League is on the move. It's Tuesday, 28th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
Howdy, folks. Good to have you with us. It's Tuesday, a terrific Tuesday, I think, Andy. What about you?
Every Tuesday is terrific.
Clever. Vish, you were at Palace last night.
I was.
You were with our very own Jules Breach, who would have no doubt been fist pumping when that goal went in from Neil Morpay.
Yeah, you know, she was in the press box. You know, obviously she's a journalist. She's a very well-respected journalist and TV presenter. So
she's not here.
Yeah. So when she leant over my shoulder at half time.
We're aware of who Jules is and what she does.
After she
let her in your press box, did you?
But the veneer was gone when it got to half time. Palace had obviously just taken the lead and she walked past me and it leant over. Palace press box, very small, sat shoulder to shoulder with everyone else, and she just went, "That fucking prick." And I think, the more people that know about the Jules that we see, the better, I think.
I think those who listen to The Ramble knows what a gem Jules is.
Also, I think it's a constant complaint of journalists that, you know, you don't understand the game, you don't feel the game like us fans. That is certainly not the case.
Mm.
I think that's gone out of the game a little bit. Do you not think? Or do you think it's still there? Yeah. Maybe I'm hanging out with the right people.
Maybe you are. Well, you're here, aren't you?
Yes,
you're sat opposite Andy and I.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great, it was brilliant. It's the first time I've ever attended that game. It's the first time I've been to Selhurst Park in like nearly 20 years.
My goodness.
Well, brilliant atmosphere.
I'm sure on behalf of them, they were delighted to have you back. Of course, Palace and Brighton drew 1-1. Oh my goodness, they were so close. Two goals at the end of each half. But of course, we're going to focus on the one that happened at the end of the second half for obvious reasons, Andy. But it was heartbreaking for Palace. I mean, that would have been treated like a loss. Of course, they were so close. Was it 95th minute? Just defend the ball, kick the ball further up the field.
Yeah, yep. That's the feeling, isn't it?
That, oh, dear.
Even as a neutral, like the Palace really deserved to win that game. Mm. It was the almost perfect performance. They were really great. And if you compare it to their recent games against Brighton, when Brighton have hammered them and had absolutely no reward in those games. I think that's where they've got their XG numbers up against Palace, actually.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the opposite yesterday. It was something that took you aback a little bit if you're used to seeing Palace-Brighton in recent seasons, to see Palace just swarm all over them in the first half. But they were always a little bit vulnerable, Palace, to that long ball. That's the only way that Brighton looked at getting at them. I mean, in the very few chances that Brighton had, there was that one in the second half where Sanchez, it looked like a clearance. It was actually an amazing flat pass out to the right, to, I think it was Moda. And there was a cross came in that Palace kind of struggled to clear. But that they were first at everything defensively. Conor Gallagher was everywhere in midfield. They were terrific. And I think even if you hadn't seen their last couple of games in which I think they've been globally pretty impressive, and Palace after the start of this season, since the Spurs game, have been I think pretty impressive, or since the second half of the West Ham game, really have been pretty impressive. You could look at that and say Patrick Vieira has truly made a stamp on this team, and they're his team. But you know, if you're going to score an undeserved equaliser like Neil Maupay, you might as well milk it like that, right?
Didn't he just? I think of all the players Palace fans who wouldn't have wanted to score that goal, it was possibly him.
Is it time for a discussion
on whether
Neil Maupay has dethroned Jamie Vardy as the Premier League's rattler in chief?
Well, it's good to know that he's got a successor.
Yeah.
When
it is actually
when he goes, isn't it?
But I think Maupay, though, the interview that he gave afterwards when he was talking to Dave Doan's Thierry Henry and Jamie Carragher, he came across very well, I thought.
Oh no, I mean, he is absolutely the kind of player that has white line fever.
Yes,
and I'm all for it.
Whereas Vardy, on and off the pitch, I think is the same.
I've heard the stories. Yeah.
Is Maupay drinking Skittles in vodka?
Maybe a bit classier, isn't he?
Right.
Well, if you can't do that after scoring a 95th minute equaliser against Crystal Palace, when can you do it?
Yeah, I don't think Vardy was doing it like immediately post game.
No, anyway, no, that's true.
Interesting man of the match presentation, wouldn't it?
He's there doing the chat and trying to decant it in his hand.
More on Skittles later, though, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
The end of that game off the back of the equaliser was incredible because Zaha, when he scored, went to the Brighton fans. He made a note of making a beeline for them and giving them the end. Obviously, they have a lot of history. He's got a lot of history in this encounter as well. I think that was his 8th goal against them and 5th in a row at Selhurst Park. So he's
He loves that fixture.
Yeah. So he's been he has been the player that you talk about when you do consider that fixture. But Maupay's reaction was obviously there, you know, the Palace fans are further around him than the Brighton fans, so he does it on the way there. And then he just kept it up.
Yeah.
And when when all the Brighton fans went to celebrate with him, Duffy, was just doing the rounds on the other three sides, just giving it large to all the Palace fans. And then obviously there was that big standoff at the end because Sanchez goes in for second at the final whistle. Because I think, you know, they kicked off and the referee blew his whistle. And then there was a bit of a standoff between him and James McArthur. But yeah, it was a really absurd game. I think it was an atypical Palace-Brighton game because of how well Palace played. Mm. Because Brighton didn't really ever sniff in that first half. And because of that, there was no real back and forth. It was just Palace fans, you know, at a certain level. Almost the noise was almost plateauing until Zaha actually got that goal. But Vieira said he wants to cut down on the mistakes. I didn't necessarily see that outright as a mistake. You can't, what are you going to do? You're not going to take Guaita to the training ground and be like, right, never fuck up a kick again. I thought that he did a lot right yesterday.
Well, I
agree with Andy about Vieira.
Yeah, look, the kick can happen. You know, I understand if he goes over the defender's head, you know, that's probably the game over, as they were saying. Veltman plays the ball very nicely back in, but I forget which defender it was. Like, should just be heading that away. There's no two ways about that. Why he kind of just left that to go over his shoulder. But earlier on in the game, Ayew had a chance, Andy, and Thierry Henry was particularly unhappy that he didn't square the ball back to, was it Benteke, rather than shooting. And I thought, I know what you mean, Thierry, but it's wise to be wise after the event, because actually that was there to be hit.
Also, is Benteke guaranteed to put it in the back of the net?
Well, it's one of those ones where if he squares it and doesn't get it quite right, and he puts it just behind.
And he's not expecting it.
All that business. Yeah. You think, why on earth did you not have a crack at goal there?
No, I mean...
The fact is the ball didn't end up in the back of the net. I take the point.
I mean...
But it's there to be hit.
You know, you hear that, you know, you thought you had scored, you were wrong, you were wrong.
Mm.
That is the biggest one of those that I can ever remember because it was quite a prolonged... We've scored. Oh, actually, we haven't.
Do you not remember Raheem Sterling versus Italy in the 2010 World Cup?
Yeah.
There was that one, Andy.
I thought Benteke's reaction or lack of reaction was quite instructive about that. Because, yeah, I agree with you. I don't see anything wrong with Ayew taking on that shot. Beyond the fact, I think it's like 35 games since he's last scored. But Benteke, you know, when he missed it, Benteke wasn't there, like pointing at his feet, being like, you know, why am I passing the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And it was massively wise after the event because I only realised from the other angle, because I was on Ayew's side on that side of the pitch. I only realised when I saw the other angle that had he passed it to Benteke, he would have taken out the defender closing him down and the goalkeeper. And when you're in that moment as a forward, you've got to take that shot. I'm sorry.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Like, if he'd have cut it back and puts it in, then brilliant, do you know what I mean? But yeah, very disappointing, and that would have killed off the game.
There was also the chance where Sanchez messed up a kick and inadvertently gave it to Edouard, and Palace basically had a 3-on-1 situation.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, because Zaha had already gone for the first press, miles offside, and Edouard just plays in the ball through.
Mm.
But
that is the thing, though. That is the quandary that Vieira has, because you get an incredible shift out of Jordan Ayew, even if he's completely done in terms of confidence at the moment, which hopefully for his sake will come back. With Odson Edouard, you're getting the goals and that's it.
Sure, but he's got some players to work with there, and it'd be interesting. Like, he's missed a chance. Everybody can miss a chance. You know what I mean? But does he need to keep apologising like Bruno Fernandes does? Is what I would say.
Well, I haven't
seen a written statement.
500 words is the minimum.
The absolute minimum.
I think no typos.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what we want to see.
No emojis. It's not a laughing matter.
That's what we want to see. Otherwise, he's disrespecting, quite frankly, the whole of South London. You know, but there we are. I jest, of course.
I think Millwall fans are cool with it.
I think they're very cool with it, Andy. Yeah. See, Patrick Vieira watched Amazon's When Eagles Dare documentary to get a better understanding of their rivalry with Brighton. It was just before he took the job, so he could sort of understand it. I mean, we do need something to understand this odd rivalry, don't we? I understand the reasons. I can't be arsed going into it now. Google it if you want. But it's a rivalry nonetheless. And football can throw these things up, of course.
It was a funny thing, wasn't it? When Brighton were getting harried and hassled in the first half, Mark Kukuea, who's made a pretty good impact, I would say, at Brighton, he did have a sense of, this is a derby or a Classico or something. He just seemed completely rabbit in the headlights about the whole thing, didn't he?
Well, he won't be next time, Andy.
And then he started taking people out and he was like, okay, he gets it now.
I know you mentioned earlier, but Vish, a little word for Conor Gallagher, who looks all action, doesn't he?
Genuinely outstanding. I had to look it up a few times that he was still only 21 because obviously he was there at West Brom last year and Palace tried to get him last year. But he was at the forefront of everything good that they did, from the way he was all over the pitch, not just, you know, he was part of the middle three, but he was out on the left helping out Zaha. He obviously wins a penalty from running in from the right. I think all but two of his passes were in, you know, went into Brighton half. He was always looking forward. Led the press as well. There were a few times in the second half that I noted where he would go right up to the goalkeeper and Sanchez and close him down. And bear in mind, Brighton are very good at keeping the ball and recycling the ball and starting moves from the back. He had their goalkeeper kicking out for touch.
Mm-hmm. Great hair.
Yeah, lovely hair. Lovely hair. Very handsome boy. The only one as well who didn't get involved in those fisticuffs that were never going to be fisticuffs at the end.
Probably because he was spent waiting in the tunnel for him.
He should have had about 4 bookings by then.
Yeah, he did.
So that was probably part of it. I suppose it's the other side of it. The fact that he is like incredibly enthusiastic. But I definitely had this moment of clarity in the second half. And maybe it's because the sporting politic has changed a little bit at Chelsea. But I just looked at him and I thought, I can actually see you playing for Chelsea in the future, which you never used to think about Chelsea players on loan at all.
Yeah, that's so true. Because I had to do a follow-up last night for this morning. And I was like, I thought about that. And I was like, can I say that with any certainty, given the ability they have to buy players, even the people who don't really get a look in right now at Chelsea? And I thought, because he's clearly smart.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly gets it. He doesn't, you know, he ran around a lot. And you're right, he should have had a booking earlier than he did get one. But he clearly got attuned to the game so quickly. He did it against Spurs as well. He had a very good game against Spurs. And obviously that second half against West Ham was was all on him. And Andy's only 21.
But the big story of the game, of course, is that Brighton missed the chance to go top of the table, which would have been quite the time, because that would have been the first time in their 120-year history that they would have topped the top flight. Andy. So, yeah, still sixth, though, with 13 points. Isn't that crazy? They're sixth. Don't get to go first. You're still sixth. Gentlemen, before we get to some Premier League news, we have to mention the video many of you have seen of EA Sports FIFA, of course, that's been doing the rounds on social media. If you don't follow us on Twitter, get involved. There is a wonderful, wonderful video of somebody playing FIFA, Newcastle United involved. Was it? It must be a penalty shootout. Or something like that. Is it a fish?
I think so, yeah. So basically all the bench rush on and, the finely tuned athletes are making their way on. And then
as
suddenly,
they do, penalty shootout's one, and then suddenly everyone sprints towards the kick taker who's won it or the keeper who saved it.
And speaking of a kick, suddenly this man comes out from the pack.
Like Usain Bolt appearing. And it's Stevie Bruce. If you want to see what it looks, Steve Bruce at top speed outpacing all his substitutes looks like, get involved in that. But Alan Sam Maximum tweeted this video saying, "Can you explain to me, EA Sports FIFA, why did you give me 91 pace and 99 pace to Steve Bruce?"
So in this situation, they would have programmed it so that it's obviously a celebration scene and the managers all run at the same speed. So potentially, had he not left his job last year, that could have been Roy Hodgson. That could have been Roy Hodgson.
Could have been Roy. I'd like to see George Jesus doing that, Andy.
Oh, well, he'd fly, wouldn't he?
He would fly.
Yeah.
That's what he'd do.
That is true.
It was nice to hear you actually give a mention to the Lazio Eagle guy yesterday, handing his eagle over to Maurizio. Sorry, used to be the Benfica Eagle guy.
You're joking.
No, and he had a dispute with the club, so he... him and his eagle off to Lazio.
Who else likes eagles?
Yeah, I was going to say, lucky he had the vacancy. Do they just move between
the role.
Palace, Lazio, and
Benfica?
And Benfica, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
That's lovely,
like
that. Excellent stuff. Well, gentlemen, talking of flying, the Premier League might be going abroad. How about that? Premier League shareholders met at the Landmark Hotel in London. Always the Landmark, just because of the name, maybe.
It's a lovely joint, to be fair.
Is that the one in Marylebone?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know. It's quite near where I go to church, incidentally.
Lots of dark and devious stuff happens in there, though.
Yeah, not at
the hotel, not in your church.
Yeah, right enough. lots of light and positivity happens at the church, Andy. I think you'll find.
There's a lot of light at the Landmark as well because of the open little cafe bit.
Ah,
sorry, go
good.
On.
Yeah, you'd know.
But do they find these corners, then? Yeah.
Vish will find them. They were discussing the growth of the Premier League.
It had got a bit small, hadn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think, you know, when the super clubs in Europe were falling apart on their knees and the Premier League teams were driving this change for, European Super League, I did think, yeah, they need this.
Yeah. It's like going to an oil field. Can we get any more out of that? You know what I mean? It includes plans for a roadmap for meaningful matches abroad. Here we go again. Is it the 39th game all over again? I mean, they will try anything, won't they? This was raised at June's AGM and has been in the ether for more than a decade. For those of you who remember the 39th game, they wanted a 39th game in the Premier League, which would be played all around the world. That was blocked. Of course, by everybody who's got a passing interest in the Premier League. But it's, I mean, what do you think to this then, Vish? I mean, the Super League, of course, has not long been beaten away, although we'll talk about that in just a sec. But Premier League growth and so on, I mean, what do you reckon?
Well, I suppose the word to emphasise in this, as you've done, is meaningful, because... I think they've obviously seen what happens in the NBA and the NFL when they bring games over to the UK, and it's not necessarily the best teams and it's not necessarily the best players. And certainly I think from what I understand of the way that the 39th game was being talked about, because it was an add-on, there wouldn't be as much appetite from either side, really, from the Premier League teams who wouldn't want to play an extra game to actually the fans abroad who probably thought, actually, why would we really go to this? It's just a glorified exhibition game, really. Yeah. It does absolutely speak of where football is at the moment, in that they've obviously looked at where fans are interacting with the Premier League, specifically with clubs, actually. This is more about followers of account rather than fans.
Yeah.
And they see that as a big marketing opportunity because they basically want in on what clubs have been doing for a while now with various sponsorships from around the around the globe. So, I mean, obviously money is at the heart of it. It's interesting, though, like, as someone who's got friends in India through like the work I do in cricket, the appetite for the Premier League, the appetite for football teams over there is huge.
Oh, it's enormous around the world.
Yeah, and so part of me is wondering, like, is that a nice thing to do? And the other side of me is thinking, well, actually, I'm giving them too much credit.
It's nothing to do with being nice. Let's
absolutely,
be clear.
Yeah.
Let, let us be abundantly clear about that.
No, 100%. Yeah, so, I'm meaning them more than halfway. I'm almost doing it for the sake of talking about it.
Yeah, really. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But it's understandable.
One thinks that. Well, actually, it would be, and of course, that would be one of the. You know, sort of by one of the effects of it. Yeah, of course, somebody in, you know, New Delhi, Nairobi, you name it, Tokyo, they would be able to go and see a Premier League game potentially. Obviously, that would be good. But let's be honest, the ticket prices wouldn't be really cheap for people. You know, it would be a certain ilk of person. This is just to make money. That's the end
of
it.
I mean, first off, are we saying that Southampton Burnley is more sellable now in Hong Kong after Maxwell Cornet's joined Burnley. I think that's what we're saying.
And it's good that you look at the finer details, Andy, because yes. Fish and I have obviously missed that somewhere down the line there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the NFL and NBA thing, as someone who's a big fan of one of those sports at least, is it's a false equivalent. Because no one goes to every home and away game if they're a Golden State Warriors or Miami Heat fan, because it's just geographically impossible. So I think it falls in quite well with the Pep Guardiola thing last week about, you know, bringing B teams into League One. It's just complete, like, sort of goldfish memory misunderstanding of what makes English football loved so much over the world. And it isn't just the Premier League. It's the Premier League in context, as well as the depth of feeling. And, you know, I think I saw one of those Premier League years that they'd made already of 2021 season quite recently. Turns out it's totally shit without fans. it was a rubbish watch. I turned it off after about 5 minutes. And that is the thing that the last year should have told us, A, we could do without such a packed fixture calendar, and B, you need fans for television at the very least.
Yeah.
Without talking about the feelings of those fans and the history and tradition, it's just a rubbish televisual spectacle. I just don't understand who is going to watch this.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioning last year is it kind of touches on a worry that I have when I read up about this, is because obviously loads of clubs lost a decent amount of money last year.
It's the ultimate excuse, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of regaining lost revenue.
Well, yeah, you know, the talk of like every club will be entitled to an extra £5 million as well, which maybe 5 years ago wouldn't have sounded much to Premier League clubs. Mm. And now, you know, because of what's happened, feels that a little bit more significant. So, I mean, hopefully there's strong resistance to this, but
look,
we'll see.
Those of you who rose up against the Super League, we might need you again. So do get involved. All right, everybody, let's go for a quick break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
What do you want me to do? Take my T-shirt off and swing it over my head.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, dear. Never get bored of that, man. Right then, let's have some emails. Show at footballramble.com. Show at footballramble. Send your email. Show at footballramble. More fun than you can handle. Show at footballramble.com.
I was waiting for another reload. I've got an email here from Aaron Hartley in Cincinnati.
Ooh, never been.
Are you a Bungles fan? Hello, Ramblers. I apologise for I apologise for diverting MLS chat from old Phil Neville's into Miami. Oh. But FC Cincinnati have sacked Yap Stam.
Ooh, Yap.
This is not surprising, though, as they've won just one of their last 16 games.
Big difference to Fizzer. Obviously, they didn't have a positive result last time round, but that's what happens when you don't compete in cup finals.
It is. As you might recall, when the Dutchman was announced as a head coach, the club's official Twitter used a picture of Ajax youth coach Tinus van Tuinbroek.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, the local news has used the same picture on its firing announcement. It's come full circle, ladies and gents. The local derby is called Hell is Real, and it's true. Hell is being a supporter of this club.
I do feel for bald men sometimes when it's just like, yeah, you all look alike. It's like, come on.
I mean, I want
to... If you're going to do it properly.
I want to give
a
them...
picture of like Richard O'Brien or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like somebody totally different.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah. That's the default, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Even De La Peña.
Yeah.
I want to think that this is a bit... I want to think this is for the real ones, you know.
Go on.
If you know, you know. I want to think that someone at that news agency has done this deliberately.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If you know your Ajax history,
yeah,
text in now.
Yeah,
or simply if you know what Yap Stam looks like.
Yeah, I think it was the same person going, do you know what? This, for those who get this, they will absolutely love this gag.
I think so. We've got one here from Dave Asio. It says, having not seen the twirl-based attempted assault on Edison from the Chelsea faithful over the weekend, the proper discussion, interrupted only by occasional spellsy giggles, trademark, reminded me of an anecdote from American sport. In the 2010s, American football player Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch, a charismatic fan favourite and running back at the time for the Seattle Seahawks, developed a reputation for his love of the Skittles candy, which he attributed to shaping his football career. It got to the point where, upon scoring a touchdown, fans would serenade him with bags of Skittles thrown onto the field. It's unclear as to whether Edison is secretly a lover of Twirls, but the question I have for you, Ramble family, is if you were a footballer, what would you want to be showered in by your faithful fans?
That is so...
Can we not open this to Pete?
Yeah, please. We had to. Yeah, let's. Thank goodness he's not here. Oh no, he'd probably say yogurt. He likes yogurt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's not code word, but this chap, Mr. Lynch, beast mode. I mean, talking to, if he loves Skittles, he should definitely go out on the piss with Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beast mode, banter mode.
I mean, is this why shell-less Skittles were created?
What?
You know, no shell Skittles?
No. What is this?
That look of disgust was when Caroline Barker actually shared some with me and some other people we were working with a while back. And I was like, this can't be real. The whole texture thing of it, I couldn't deal with
dirty,
it at all.
Did you feel dirty, Andy?
Yeah.
Did you feel dirty, but did you like it a little bit?
Actually, for throwing purposes, I could see they would be practical.
Don't put things why would that? Why would they?
I mean, it's all right for Marshawn because he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
Well, what about footballers? Imagine getting one of those on the bonce.
Well, I was going to say, don't throw Skittles at people, but it does. It reminds me. I say, reminds me. I recall many years ago on the pod when we did a profile of a derby in Mexico. The Guadalajara derby with Club America, maybe, and there was an occasion where the goalkeeper, when they were hammering him, he apparently there was like a magazine by the side of the pitch, and he picked it up and just started reading it as if to say, "Oh, this is so easy, like, well, I don't have anything to do." And then, predictably, in the return game when he was away from home, every goal he conceded, magazines just rained down on him.
That is so good,
isn't that nice?
That is perfect. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's in the Netherlands where they have a collection for kids, don't they? And they throw cuddly toys on the pitch at half time, I think.
I don't know.
And it's like quite the sight. I mean, but shithousery, I'm all for that.
I think that's one of the best ones I've ever heard in the game.
When Sanchez celebrated after Neil Maupay's goal and the final whistle went, fans got so angry in the goal behind him, full of Palace fans, that someone threw, I think it was like a, he had a banner, like a cloth banner, and he threw it. And obviously, the impact of it was lost as soon as it hit the air.
Yeah.
And it just floated back down to earth. It's totally at odds with the angle with which it was thrown.
We should say, don't throw things at football matches, everybody.
Or if you do, screw them up first, because they might go further.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, yeah. Or maybe wrap them in a bit of stone so you can get a proper distance.
Unbelievable.
<on them.
laughs> Paper aeroplanes at Wembley is fine, though. I have not been told. What about, surely in the Carabao Cup, just Carabao? Just cover yourselves in Carabao. Is that the next step?
Sort of like a Formula One podium.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you imagine how hard you would have to scrub yourself to get all the sugar off?
I was thinking more like the opening scene of Blade. Like when anyone scores, it's just like raining down upon everyone.
Blimey, now you're testing my memory. Andy, aren't you vegan or something like that?
I have vegan tendencies.
A bit of soy milk or almond milk, whatever you have.
Well, almond milk's quite bad for the environment, but soya, I suppose.
It? Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Nice to hear you caring about the environment now. Finally, we've got to you. well, there we are. Show at footballramble.com, ladies and gentlemen, for that kind of nonsense. Right, back to the football. And speaking of nefariousness and all that kind of stuff about Premier League going abroad and da-di-da-di-da, we've got some Super League punishment news for you.
Interesting use of the word punishment, Marcus.
Why is that? Oh, I see what you mean.
Please carry on.
Yes.
I was punished with a raise last year. That'll learn you.
Yeah, fool your boss into giving you a punishment of more money and less hours. It emerged last night that UEFA's proceedings against Barcelona, Juventus and Real Madrid over their involvement in the European Super League has been declared null and void after a court in Madrid ruled last week that UEFA should not punish the three clubs.
Have ever the words "caught in Madrid" been more important?
Oh dear, Andy. Justice has been done. We can all agree.
I'm just imagining.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Move on.
What else have you got to say about this?
I'm imagining a game show called Juiz Florentino. Right. With the big man sitting there, you know, with a little sort of plastic hammer in his chair going, I think we should be let off. Right, motion carried.
Yeah, and the guy who did the Chicago 7 just nodding along, going, all for that. Yeah, absolutely. Who did you want me to back? Yeah, that's fine. UEFA have also said they will not yet collect the goodwill payments from the other nine clubs, meaning that as it stands, no punishment remains for the European Super League project. Even though the original lawsuit brought about by the 12 clubs against UEFA when the ESL was proposed is still ongoing. So, you know, let's just all get along. Let's all just forget about it and just don't do that again. Oh, you're still thinking about it. Stop thinking about it.
It's a use of null and void, though, as if, like, okay, you know, it didn't happen. It's like a level above an annulment. It's like, should we just say we never met?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just say we never met, yeah.
It's piss poor.
Also, even though, yeah, we're not going to collect the goodwill payments, and it was like, well, if they're goodwill, they should be given anyway. It's not for you to go and collect them.
It's all just a big shame.
I say, it says not yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Andy. Yeah,
level of menace.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We're doing them.
What were we thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we're on tenterhooks to find out when those payments will be collected. Gentlemen, I'd like to bring to the table Mark Clattenburg. Did an interview recently with
Daniel. You're really going to bring him to the table?
Oh, big time, baby. Big time. He did an interview recently with Daniel Taylor, ahead of the release of his new book. How about that? He's revealed a lot about the world of refereeing, as you'd expect, particularly how normal he is compared to everybody else. What a great guy Clattenburg is compared to the other knobheads who are referees. Apparently his rivalry with Martin Atkinson became so intense that they ended up trading punches at a referee get-together.
I bet not a single punch was thrown.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have no doubt that not a single punch was thrown.
Big man on canvas there.
Well, no, just
I'll
because
show you a punch.
No, because it's exactly the kind of thing that people, there was, you know, no one was there. Not, I mean, apart from, obviously, there were some people were there, but no one bought witness to it. It's the first we're hearing about it. And it's one of those weird stories that reflects well on both of them that they threw punches. I guarantee you not a single punch.
Do you think if a policeman was there, he would have given them a caution? He said, we were playing five-a-side in the gym. I caught him with a tackle. He threw a punch. I threw a punch back. From that moment, there was always a certain level of respect between us, but friendship was out. And then the kissing started. I made that last bit up, Andy. Apparently Graham Pohl ran the Red Wine Club, which was a selected group for the referees in his inner circle, which included Paul Durkin, Graham Barber and a few others. I kind of miss Paul Durkin.
Yeah, Paul Durkin from Portland in Dorset. That was one of my earliest football memories when they would read out where the referees were from.
I just liked how he looked like Paul Scholes' dad. It was just very, very enjoyable. Apparently Graham Pohl was Clattenburg's hero.
Imagine having a hero as a referee.
Oh, come on. I think we can be a bit too harsh about this. There's a proper...
Oh, no, I'm with Vish on this.
Yeah. Oh, are you really?
Come on.
Andy Brassel, the man who hates nobody and doesn't have a bad bone in his body.
Yeah, but I don't hate referees, but I don't want to hear about them.
Okay. Yeah.
At all.
I'm absolutely the same. Yeah.
Like, I have to say, the level of hubris in thinking that, well, I suppose it's got amusement value, but... Him thinking that anyone would care about any of this stuff.
All right.
It's hilarious.
All right, Andy, you've got me back on side.
I mean, you know, this is going to be filling up the book warehouse in a very short amount of time. Under 12 months, I'm going to say.
Pulpy poos, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm going to say that I'm sure I'll get at least two like copies for Christmas, which I'm not looking forward to.
No, you shouldn't do.
You'll also get a free one from the PR agency. Always get free stuff from PRs.
Not now, we won't.
You'll be lucky to get a PDF.
Andy, you'll enjoy this, though. You'll enjoy this. Apparently, Clattenburg said, Mike Riley asked me, where do you want to go for your last match of refereeing, of course, in the Premier League? I told him I would love it to be Tottenham so I could get a box, take my family down to London, have a nice weekend. My last three games, West Brom v Bournemouth, Everton v Burnley, West Brom v Leicester. I said, thanks very much. That shows the respect you had for me.
I've never used to like Mike Riley. That is quite funny.
That is quite funny.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Andy on this. I didn't mind, you know, the tattoos. I don't mind the flash car. Like, obviously, you know, it's his money, it's his career, his success. He should enjoy it.
What about the little lizardy lick in the
didn't mind here? That either.
Yeah.
Dry lips are a problem. I carry lip balm with me all the time. But if you're a referee,
yeah,
you've only got so many pockets and they're filled with cards, a little book, presumably a pencil rather than a pen so it doesn't run.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind it.
You don't mind the lick
away.
It did fuel David Icke's theory though for a bit longer, didn't it? that was the problem.
That was the
for
only
me.
Drawback.
That
yeah.
was a problem for me.
I'd rather hear about David Icke than the referees.
That's how bad it is. Do you know Jim went to see David Icke once? Brixton Academy, genuinely. He's not here. In fact, I'm not slagging off Jim.
Well, did he open for him?
Jim has told this story, I think, before on the Ram. I'm sorry, Jim, to say this in your absence, but like, it's, you know, Ike's come up again, and it's all my fault. Yeah, I think Jim only lasted 6 out of the 9 hours. Anyway, Jim can talk about that next time.
Double bill with Hugo Chavez.
Hey, Chavez, come on. Suddenly Chavez with the old harp playing. Yeah, people have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. But those who know, know. All right. Now, let's talk about the Champions League, for crying out loud. Let's get back to something.
Something wholesome.
Something more controversial. Because Man City playing Paris Saint-Germain. And FC Porto playing Liverpool. Lovely pair of ties, I think you'll agree, gentlemen. But yes, Manchester City are travelling to Paris to face Pochettino's PSG. And it's nice to see Pep versus Poch again. And Pep, of course, was very pleased. What did he call it? A fascinating week of football he was talking about. Before we talk about the actual game, former Manchester City man, Sami Nasri, has announced his retirement from football just at the age of 34.
I mean, he's been on the way out for a while, though.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
Well, he said his 12-month doping ban destroyed his career, and he's been without a club since Anderlecht let him go in 2020, so you can understand a bit.
He doesn't realise the other side of that coin, does he?
No.
He doesn't. I do remember as well, because it was about that time, he had the loan at Sevilla, and his first 6 months of the season, what? Absolutely brilliant.
People can forget what a player he was.
He was such an intuitive player. He was incredible, super intelligent. But I remember around that time as well, he had that extraordinary picture on Facebook, which was him in this sort of like leather-studded front room with like neon signs, and it just had a little legend saying, relaxing at home, and obviously the first comment said, why do you live in a sex club?
Yeah. did he not used to rent an apartment or a house off Phil Neville?
He certainly did.
Yeah.
Okay. He certainly did.
All right. Nothing to do with the previous comment.
You know what, though? It's one of my biggest ramble regrets from before when I was on it, because he's famously sweary.
Yeah.
Sami Nasri.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back from when he was, I remember a friend of mine interviewing him for TV at, I guess it would have been under-17s, and he was part of an incredible French under-17 team with Menez, Ben Arfa, Benzema. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, proper players.
Anyway, my friend interviewed him, and he said, "That's great, Samir, but could we do it again without the swears?" And he said, "Oh, sorry, sure, no problem." And he put all the swears in exactly the same places. All over again. I remember over a drink with Jim, though, in Jim's getting a lot of mentions today for not being here, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He's working hard. I remember being in some Shoreditch hovel with him late at night some years ago, and I felt like I was really close to convincing him that Sami Nasri's swear of the week should be a feature on the ramble.
Yeah. That, I mean, back in the day, we would have definitely done that. Yeah, absolutely.
Don't tell me that ship sailed. Just tell me there's a chance, Marcus.
There's always a chance.
He was legitimately, when he was at the peak of his powers in the Premier League, he was the best technical player in the Premier League. Like, there were so many.
Big shout that, Vic.
Yeah, no, but I believe that, because I feel like he could do anything. He's got a brace against United where the first one took a bit of a deflection, but pinged a half volley with his left foot. You know, bent one route with the outside of his foot around Van der Sar with his right in the second half. That goal he scored for Arsenal against Porto, where he basically...
In the Champions League.
In the Champions League.
When he originally gets the ball, he is nowhere near the goal.
Yeah, and also, because he gets it so wide, he never has the intention of doing what he eventually does. Mm. So it gets to a point where, having reacted so much, he sees the avenue to go down and thought, oh shit, I might be able to get a goal here.
I mean, to have someone who is... like, in almost every aspect of his game, the ultimate street baller.
Yeah.
To have someone like that, someone who you would love to play football with in the street, who you would love to play five-a-side with, to translate that type of talent and make it succeed in the Premier League, that's actually ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we remember him very fondly for that. And also being a great tenant for Phil Neville, of course.
Exactly.
The less said about that, the better. Right, moving on.
Good on Twitter as well.
Yeah, exactly. Very good on Twitter. So, yeah, well, we're looking forward to PSG hosting Manchester City, of course, as well. And apparently there's no more discontent in the PSG ranks because Mbappe and Neymar were seen laughing at training recently. Ha, 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 quickly take the photo now. So all is fine, Andy. All is fine.
Separately.
What I quite like about...
Good old Photoshop. Yeah,
that would be good. Blazing sunshine in the background of one of the photos.
Neymar with a woolly hat on.
or just like a really bad Photoshop as like... as Neymar as like Jerry Seinfeld. He's just in the crowd like, ah, oh, yeah, oh, good one. What is the deal with free kicks?
No, you have pens. No, you. What I quite like is when Poch is asked about Messi, he's like, yeah, well, you know, he's in the squad. He's in the squad. Are you going to play him? Well, he's in the squad. All right, like
I'm not going to pay him. He might well pick himself. Not really my department.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to have to ask him if he's up for it.
Above my pay grade, mate.
By the way, is Pep going to do like? Obviously, we spoke yesterday about the peak Pep was when he had a go at Nathan Redmond for not attacking the match. Do you think he might do that to Messi or like Mbappe or Neymar? I mean, I know he has come these players.
He'll do it to Neymar in front of Messi.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be nice presumably because it's Operation Messi at Paris at the moment, if he went up and like sort of grabbed Messi's cheek, imagine him getting flattened by like 10 security guards all dressed like Men in Black. That would be amazing.
That would be very good, Andy. Liverpool are facing Porto, of course, after playing Brentford on the weekend. TV adventurer Ben Fogle has been helping Liverpool with boosting their mind control and mental agility under pressure, apparently through the context of his own expeditions.
Why?
Well, you've got to try everything, haven't you?
But why have they gone straight to Ben Fogle?
I don't think I'll go straight to him. I don't know. We conceded 3 goals against Brentford. Right, get Fogle in.
Well, if he doesn't answer a call, David Blaine, what's he up to?
Yeah, I don't know. Quite interesting, really. So,
week before Burnley away, surely.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the bigger picture that they're looking at.
Yeah.
So there we are, Andy. How are Porto looking at the moment, Andy?
Decent. No, they really should have won at Atletico Madrid in the first game. They were terrific. And to go to Atletico Madrid and be the better team is really impressive. And Sergio Conceição, before this game, when he had his press conference yesterday, he was like, yeah, we've got the quality to win this. Of course we've got the quality to win this. I really love his attitude. Like, you know, there is not a situation that they won't absolutely take everything to, like, beyond its ultimate conclusion. They're so tough. They work so hard. They're not really like a normal Portuguese team. Mm. And obviously he will row with absolutely anyone in the touchline. I would like it to be close enough for him and Klopp to go at it on the touchline.
Oh, I think so.
That would be nice.
We'd all enjoy that very much. So there we are, everybody. Well, we look forward to the Champions League tonight, of course. So get your eyes and ears on that. Right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. On tomorrow's show, Jules Vision Jim will be in your ears.
I'll ask him about David Icke.
You shall do, and you will get answers. Not from Icke, though, but from Jim. There we are. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dusan Handaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that. Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.